Hi, this is Dave, and it's been 3 years since we launched Galactic Netcasts. And over that time, some shows have come and gone, but the one thing that stayed the same is our commitment to you, the best listeners on the internet. And that's why we're asking for your help. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us build the best sci-fi, science, and geek culture-based podcast network in the galaxy. And all you have to do is go to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. Thank you for your support, and on with the show!
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It is Thursday, July 31st, 2014, and welcome once again to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 112 in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me as always is Brad Ludwig and Anessa Moyens in Wausau, Wisconsin. How are you guys doing?
A-okay.
Okay, you guys kind of talked over each other a little bit. Brad, you go first, and then Anessa.
Pretty good. The podcast table is shaping up here for the Nerdatorium studio. So, making some serious progress. Pretty excited about that.
Now, are you making those posts, when you post pictures of the podcasting table, are you making those publicly available? So, if anybody like would to do a search, they'd find those?
Yeah, the pictures are open to for anybody to see. I don't have it. Somebody asked me about schematics. I'm like, I'm kind of pulling this out of my posterior, so I really don't have schematics.
Maybe afterwards when you're done, when you know it's put together right.
Get back and write stuff down.
Reverse engineering like they did with the alien crafts from Roswell. Okay.
Yep.
Anessa, you're not feeling too well.
I'm feeling better than this morning, but I'm eating pasta, so we'll see how it goes.
Just a bit of the stomach flu, or what is it?
I guess so, because Brad and I had, well, mostly the same thing to eat yesterday, except for lunch I had an Italian beef sandwich, and he had a gyro, and then I had frozen custard later, but
okay.
I have no idea what caused it.
Our fingers are crossed for you. The world's fingers are crossed that you don't puke.
That I don't puke or something else.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here we go. This is the show where we talk about aliens. Aliens everywhere. We're talking the extraterrestrial kind. The kind that aren't from this Earth originally. Either they're from another planet or another dimension. And where you can find them in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and in real life. We break down the show into three parts. The news, that's the headlines from the week related to aliens. The craft corner, a spotlight of a certain kind of alien craft, and our picks for the week. If you want to watch us live, best thing to do since the times and the days change is follow us on Twitter, Google+, and Facebook, and we'll put a status update as to when we're going live and the link to the show. All right, so here we go. Let's start it with the following thing. I'm just trying to find the soundboard. Hang on, bear with me here. All right, let's try this.
In the news,
Brad, you got the first story. Go.
I do. I found this great story on natureworldnews.com, and it's about radio bursts that are coming from space. And
hang on a second, Brad. I want to play something. Say that last line again.
It's radio bursts from space.
I don't know why we didn't have that earlier. That's perfect.
Dave's got a new toy. Now, the interesting thing about this is these strong but very brief radio wave bursts were first detected in 2007 by astronomers in Australia. Now, the weird thing is every time that these bursts have occurred, it's only been heard by Australia, by the radio radio astronomers there. What's interesting is this time, this the Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico was doing some pulsar survey. They're working on a project, and they experienced the radio burst. So here's a little bit more of the details. Victoria Caspi, who is the principal investigator for the pulsar survey project I was talking about, said, our result is important because it eliminates any doubt that these radio bursts are truly of cosmic origin. The radio waves show every sign of having come from the far outside of our galaxy, a really exciting prospect. Now, it was first detected, like I said before, by the Parkes Radio Telescope in New South Wales 7 years ago, and it was dubbed the Fast Radio Burst, or FRB, by the Discovery team. And there have been five other FRBs, and each time the New South Wales Parkes Radio Telescope group discovered these, or they detected them. So this is like the first time that it's been experienced by another group to kind of verify and check the data to see if it matches up. Let's see. Now, Laura Splitter, who found the data on Arecibo in 2012, now with the discovery burst from Arecibo, we are more confident that FRBs are astrophysical phenomenon, and discovering and classifying them would be a priority of radio astronomical observatories in the future. A study detailing the discovery was published in the journal Science and lists a number of tentative theories as to what could be causing the FRBs. One promising suggestion is that they are unusually powerful pulsars, and they're fast-spinning neutron stars. They spin like, you know, one rotation a second, so they're just moving phenomenally fast, but they're so energetic that they just kick out these radio waves, and it's just like a rotating beacon in space, essentially. It's not utterly insane to at least consider that these FRBs could finally be a few responses of some of the SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence has been working for over 30 years now, trying to send out messages into space to try to elicit a response or hear a response from intelligent extraterrestrial life. So with no knowledge of there ever being with no knowledge of even where the potential replies are coming from, we Earthlings might as well be chatting with the voices in our heads, is what they say. They're saying that they're willing to give it like maybe a 2% shot that it's a, you know, an alien intelligence that's been beaming us these bursts. But everything else from what they know points to an astronomical phenomenon.
Now we have to examine those radio bursts very carefully and look inside them and see the picture of Nazi Germany. And then inside that will be the plan to build one of those from contact. I'm trying to make a contact joke here, people.
Yeah, I was with you. Just make sure that you're looking at the map in three-dimensional space.
Was the person that discovered this this radio burst, were they sitting on the hood of a car with wearing headphones, and it was a blonde woman that kind of looked like Jodie Foster?
No, it was not.
Okay, damn it.
As fun as and as interesting as that would be, it was not.
Okay. So 2% chance. Well, I'll take that over, you know, ruling it out completely.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Interesting. I love these kind of stories. I love when they discover something. I just hope that something comes along and doesn't disprove them wrong. I hope they either A, never find out what it is, or or B, hope that it doesn't get disproven. Those are my two hopes when it comes to this.
Absolutely.
Do we know, or I was kind of halfway listening, Brad.
I get that a lot.
Halfway listen to everybody. Do they know exactly, specifically, what part of the galaxy or space it came from?
No, I think they're still trying to zero in a location. There's based on the article, they're certain it's from a very long distance away, but as to where, they're not sure.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll have the link to that story in the show notes of the podcast. So check it out. If you
want. I think they could triangulate the position if, like, Parks and Arecibo both got the same burst. They could try to maybe triangulate and pinpoint where it would be. But, as of right now, no.
Triangulate. Wouldn't they need three observatories to do that? Or is the triangle the two on Earth and then the one in space? That would be the triangle.
Yeah. The triangle would be the wherever this data burst, or I'm sorry, this radio burst is coming from, and then the two observatories could try to pinpoint where in the night sky that they're getting this burst from.
It could be a data burst. They could be sending. They could be sending us data about how to build that ship. Whatever that was.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Brad. Again, we'll have the link in the show notes if you want to read more about that. It's interesting. All right. I've got something not from the realm of science, but science fiction, as in sci-fi or sci-fi. An alien invasion is coming as sci-fi develops new sci-fi thriller, Absolute Zero. This sounds like a really, really cool show. This is from Deadline. Deadline is reporting that a new sci-fi drama has been put into development. It's not just they're trying out the show to see how fans like it with maybe a miniseries or one episode. They're putting this thing into development. They have ordered the show. It's from the former guy that used to run the former producer or something from Burn Notice. Remember that show, Burn Notice?
Yeah, that was a fun show to watch.
Yeah, executive producer Michael Horowitz from Burn Notice. Set in the year 2124, Absolute Zero will follow the inhabitants of a remote mining colony, kind of like Aliens. It might have that alien vibe, at least that's from the initial premise. It sounds very alien-like. I guess Aliens, not Alien. Aliens.
Yep.
Who come across a dangerous new species on one of Jupiter's moons, setting up the stage for an alien invasion that will ultimately head to Earth. Horowitz will be writing the script and will executive produce the show. This adds to a growing list of space-based shows coming to sci-fi. This is my little research. This was not in the original story. I added this on. Talk about going beyond the Call of Duty here. Along with this show, Absolute Zero. There's also shows like Ascension coming to sci-fi. That's the one where it's the spaceship that was launched like back in the early 60s. It's like a generational ship, and I think it comes out of... They come out of hibernation. No, I forget exactly how it works. I think they come out of hibernation early or something like that. There's that. There's Killjoys. I forget what that one's about. And then The Expanse is based on this book called Leviathan Wakes, which came out a few years ago. So sci-fi is definitely getting back into the space opera adventures in space game with these shows. So add one more to that list. Again, it's called Absolute Zero. It sounds pretty interesting. What do you guys think?
Yeah, we had that story last week about, was it Sean Ashmore that was joining Killjoys?
Killjoys, yeah. What was that one about?
Warehouse 13?
Yeah, what was that one about again? They're like they're a band.
Yeah, it was a generational ship that was traveling, and then I can't remember if something happens to the ship, and the folks start waking up to try to figure out what happened.
No, that's not Killjoys. That's Ascension. Killjoys is the one where it's like a ragtag group of people, and they're trying not to get involved in some kind of war in their solar system or something like that.
It follows a fun-loving, hard-living trio of interplanetary bounty hunters sworn to remain impartial as they chase deadly warrants through the Quad, a distant system on the brink of a bloody multi-planetary war. With its explosive action, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Did we talk about that on Alien Invasion or the Sci-Fi Geeks Club podcast?
I think we talked about it on Sci-Fi Geeks Club.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about it here. That sounds like a really good show. These all sound really, really good, actually. Are you guys skittish about sci-fi getting back into the sci-fi game? Are you guys not convinced yet, or does it not excite you that they're getting serious again about science fiction?
If they're getting serious about it and actually back their shows, that would be great.
Yeah.
It would be a welcome change, I think.
What was the last original, like, space-based show they had? Was it Stargate Universe? Was that the last one they had on?
I think so.
Because Battlestar Galactica, that was on. That had
NBC.
No, that wasn't NBC. That was sci-fi. But that was off the air by the time Stargate Universe went on the air, right?
I thought we were talking about Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica, the remake that sci-fi ran, was on Sci-Fi Channel. The original back in the 70s, that was on NBC.
Okay, maybe that's what I would. I don't know.
You are.
I was thinking that it was on NBC, but.
Anessa, I think you are out of it a little bit.
Yeah. I got that from this morning. Brad was like, oh, yeah, I could tell that you were kind of off. So that's right. Been my day.
Okay. Well, I can't wait for these shows to actually start airing on Sci-Fi. And what's the saying? The proof's in the pudding, sit up or shut up? No. Suit up or shut up? No. What's the thing I'm looking for? Won't believe it till I see it kind of thing?
Yeah. I like that one the best.
Well, because the phrase that comes to mind for me is nut up or shut up.
Okay, that'll work too. Yes. Yes.
Or my favorite, you kids get off my lawn.
That doesn't really relate to this.
No?
No.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So there you go. Well, again, we'll have the link to that story also in the show notes with the podcast. Third and final story, Anessa, hopefully you'll be able to get through this all right. What do you got for us this week?
It's a short one. I've gone blank. Oh, yeah. So there's this movie that's coming out in October, and it is basically called Extraterrestrial. And the article reads, "Keep watching the skies," warned Douglas Spencer's reporter at the end of the 1951 science fiction classic The Thing from Another World. More than 60 years on, that remains good advice for characters in alien-themed horror movies such as the Tribeca-screened Extraterrestrial. This third film from the directors of The Vicious Brothers, Grave Encounters, details a weekend getaway by five college friends, which goes horribly awry when aliens invade. Extraterrestrial stars Brittany Allen, the Rocker, Freddy Stroma from Harry Potter franchise, Jesse Moss from Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, awesome movie, Anja Savkik, I Love You, and Beth Cooper, Melanie Papalia from Smiley, and Gil Bellows from The Shawshank Redemption and Ally McBeal.
No, it's I Love You, it's, hang on one second.
I Love You, Beth Cooper.
Yeah, that's the name of the film.
Okay. And then, like I said, the film comes out in October. It actually comes out on video on demand. The trailer is out now, which is basically the point of the article. But yeah, the trailer is out, video on demand, October 17th. And then in November, on the 21st, it comes out in select theaters. So you could watch it before it comes out on theater. And it might not even come to a theater near you.
Yeah.
But watching the trailer, you've got, of course, the alien invasion, five college kids, and you see this ship beaming up college kids, and it's very explicitly implied that there will be anal probing.
Okay, what kind of movie is this? So this is a funny movie. It's not completely serious.
It looks like it's supposed to be serious. It looks like it's trying to be a horror flick of an alien invasion.
Oh, okay.
But it was just really, I guess, disturbing and amusing, depending on how you see it. The fact that you're watching this trailer, you're watching people be horrified about being abducted, potentially being abducted. You see this silhouette of a gray, really tall-looking alien. And then you have at the end, towards the end of the trailer, somebody's end, and there's this device that's basically, like, has claws, and it, like, shrinks down, and, like, it's going in.
So it looks like that it would not be comfortable at all, what was about to happen.
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah, if you want an alien invasion horror flick, then this would be the movie for you. And if you want to talk about people getting anally probed, I guess this would also be the movie for you.
You know, at first, when you first said made mention about the anal probing, is I thought for some weird reason, like Spaceballs came to mind, and that big vacuum.
She's gone from sock to blow.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was like this huge version of that or something in the sky. I don't know why I was thinking that.
It's like from what I remember, it looks kind of like your stereotypical flying saucer. You've got the beam of light that comes out from the middle, and then you have someone being like pulled up into the ship. So, and it's just these people trying to escape being abducted by aliens or killed or experimented on. So,
if that was about to happen to me, this was what would be going through my head right here.
But yeah, I like how subtle they were about the anal probing at the end by showing somebody's derriere on screen with this device like slowly going towards it. Just
they're not being subtle about it.
No.
They want you to know that there's going to be some of that going on in this movie.
Yeah, and at that's least going there is right the in threat. Your butt. Like the surprise would be like it's getting ready to happen, and then like somebody comes in and saves the day, or knocks the machine over, saves someone from getting looked at.
Or it could turn into
a colonoscopy.
It could turn out. It could turn out. They're just looking after our best interest. They're just.
Like, you know, your family. We've abducted them for generations. They have a thing for colon cancer. We're just gonna take you up. Make sure everything's cool.
That's what the aliens
make sure
have been
if you
doing.
Have any polyps? They're not. They're all benign.
That's what they. That's what they've been doing this whole time. They've been doing colonoscopies on the human race because they care about us.
They care about our colon health.
Yes, I think we're onto something.
That's going to be an alien short story.
Yes. Be perfect.
It's like we're just misunderstood. God.
Yeah. All right, cool. Okay, so again, what's the name of it?
Extraterrestrial.
Okay. Pretty decent cast. This Brittany Allen is from Toronto. So you got that Canadian angle going for you right there. Just saying.
You in Canada.
I don't know why. It's on my mind. I have no idea.
Well, Freddie Stroma is like probably British because he's from the Harry Potter franchise. Okay. So Britain.
All right, international cast. I get it.
Canada's not the only country.
I know.
It's all the country.
I know.
It's our hat.
No, you're our pants.
No, because Mexico's our beard.
Okay.
You're the hat. They're the beard.
Okay, got it. All right, got it. Good. All right.
South America is great.
Okay. All right, so that's your news. Let's move on. If I can find it here, my computer is being stupidly slow. Let's play this right here.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects. Flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
That's the very almost too long intro for our feature called Craft Corner, a spotlight of a certain kind of alien craft that we do every week. And this week, we're going to talk about the square/rectangular/oblong UFOs. I thought that we were totally out of shapes. But no, we are not. A square UFO. Have you guys ever heard of a square UFO?
No.
Heard of rectangular?
Well, this is like a square. I guess rectangular. Yeah, I guess it would be. Okay, yes.
Just four sides. But no, I've not heard of a square.
Okay. Well,
they're the nerds of the galaxy.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
Squares.
These crafts are a relative newcomer to the field of ufology. Have you guys ever noticed, since we started doing the Craft Corner, that the different kind of shape UFOs are all fairly new? Like, we went for the longest time only getting, like, your saucer shapes or, like, your triangular shapes. And then all of a sudden, the last few years, just this boom in new shapes of UFOs. Wonder what's going on with that.
No, we like variety in our flying saucers, or maybe they've been watching a lot of kids' shows and be like, "Oh, let's make an octagon flying saucer and go mess with the people on Earth."
So again, it's the UFOs trying to keep our interest. They're trying to entertain us, keeping us healthy and entertaining us with different shapes of UFOs. Okay, so the common features included on the square, rectangular, oblong UFOs include their dimensions. They're supposedly just gigantic, like football fields long in length, like not battleship, aircraft carrier length in size. Also, their colors, which are mostly described as gray, gray metallic, or black. Another prominent feature of the larger variety of these crafts are the lights. They've been described as running lights around the perimeter, or as looking as though wrapped in Christmas lights. Frequently, they've been seen at treetop height and traveling at extremely slow speeds. However, they have been seen to execute right angle turns on a dime, and when tilted upwards, have gone so fast that they disappeared in the blink of an eye. One description that has been made on several occasions by viewers of these craft is that they resemble a giant flying platform. So I have a theory about that. You guys ready for my theory?
Yes.
These are helicarriers. These are helicarriers from the Marvel Universe. They actually exist. That's what they're called, right? Avengers, that big platform they are on. That's a helicarrier, right?
It's a helicarrier, correct.
Okay, all right. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it. I'm not going to abandon that theory. I'm gonna stick to my guns. That's going to be my theory from now on this. Can you imagine, though? I mean, I've heard reports on the giant triangles or Australia boomerang shaped UFOs, and from what people have said, those things are super impressive and super large, very very large. Just imagine if you looked up in the sky and saw one of these babies. That'd be pretty intimidating, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit.
I wish I had more reports. I did not include any reports in on this week, so I apologize.
That's all good.
So
can't include reports every time.
No. I mean, there are reports, but the story that I got this from are super, super long. One of the major reports on this type of craft, this shaped craft, was in Washington, D.C., February 10th. Doesn't say what year. Hang on one second. What's the year on this article? No, that's weird. They just said February 10th. Okay. And there's actually a picture of this craft. Can't really tell. It looks more like a... just a streak in the sky, but there's a picture on this on the link. So if you want to, it's 2005. Excuse me, 2005. It was caught on a webcam in D.C. of this craft in the night sky over the nation's capital between 3:15 and 3:30 a.m. And we'll have the link in the show notes if you want to read more about this and see the picture. There's also a couple more pictures, I believe. Yeah. There's two more pictures at the very top, and it definitely looks like a square in the sky with lights on all four corners. I would love to see one of these bad boys, like a really good view of this.
Huh.
Cool. All right. Okay.
I'd like to see a UFO.
Yeah, you know what?
Like, just something unexplainable. Like, everything that I see, I'm like, oh, airplane. Oh, satellite.
Yeah.
Helicopter.
Of all the people on the Earth, don't you think one of us should see a UFO someday, right? Because we talk about aliens every single goddamn week.
You would think. And at some point, it was my job to look up at the sky every single night and nothing.
Maybe you have to be drunk.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't have a job.
There is that.
I didn't necessarily mean that would be drunk.
I know. It's just like, because, you know, looking up at the sky each night was because I was at work, so...
That's when you go home after work and look up at the sky some more.
That's true. But I lived in town. There wasn't much sky to see.
Okay. All right. I get it.
It's kind of a bummer.
Okay. All right. So there you go. That's our craft corner, craft of the week. It's the square, rectangular, oblong UFO. And again, we'll have the link in the show notes to check out the pictures and more details on this particular craft. All right. Let's jump into picks. What we've been watching, reading, listening to, or doing this past week. And Brad, you are up first. What do you got?
I listened to the Thrilling Adventure Hour podcast, and one of the shows, they're, from what I can tell, well, what they do is they record the entire show, and this is all done live at the I want to say the Largo in California, in Los Angeles, and they record the entire evening, but then they break it up into the individual shows. So throughout this entire, you know, I think each show is like an hour and a half or 2 hours, so they have three or four different programs that they do. And each of the programs that they do in the old style of radio back in like the 30s, where you had the, you know, the daily or weekly drama that done over the radio. And one of the shows that they have is Sparks Nevada, Marshall on Mars. And the story of Sparks Nevada is basically the show is a space western. It takes place on Mars, and Sparks Nevada is from Earth, but he ended up on Mars and became the Marshal. So he oversees all sorts of trying to keep law in a lawless Mars.
There's a lot of shenanigans on Mars.
Yes. According to the show, there's a whole ton of shenanigans. And one of the particular episode that I listened to is episode number 175. Sparks Nevada, I'm from Earth Day special called Space Oil. And the Marshal, Sparks Nevada, has a faithful companion called Croach the Tracker, and Croach is an actual Martian. And he helps Sparks Nevada. His demeanor is kind of like that of Spock from, you know, the original Star Trek series. But there's a lot of humor that's woven into this. So it's not like a straight send-up of a space western or, you know, some of the other genres that they hit throughout their entire evening of doing their shows. But it's all comedy. And yes, in this particular episode, there's a snake oil salesman, essentially, who is on Mars, and he cures the woes of the other cast members, and it's up to Sparks Nevada to find out what the story is with this snake oil salesman. Was it Dr. Erzatz Sudo is his name? voiced by Paul F. Tompkins, who is he does a lot of different things. He's got a regular web series, and now I can't remember the name of it. Ugh. But anyways, it's a fun show. It's like I said, each clip is a half an hour long. You can check it out on Stitcher, who is one of our sponsors. If you want to listen to all the episodes, I will try to dig up that link and provide that with the show notes, so you can actually go all the way back and start at the very beginning of when they actually started to record these and offer them as podcasts. So, like I said, the entire, like if you even check the Thrilling Adventure Hour on Stitcher, you're going to see all the other genre shows that they do. But I really highly recommend the Sparks Nevada stuff.
So this started as just a live show, and then they made it into a podcast.
Yeah, the original show, and now I can't remember the name of the place that they did it at. And Acker and Blacker are the last names of the Bens, as they're called, Ben Acker and Ben Blacker. They write for other TV shows. They are actual Hollywood TV show writers. And this is just like a side project where they just wanted to get their friends together and do something kind of goofy. And then other people who are friends of those friends started to come in and do voices, like Neil Patrick Harris and Nathan Fillion and was it Bijou Phillips. And, you know, there's just a lot of different other stars, other, you know, people that enjoy comedy who are actors and actresses end up being on this show. So really, really interesting and fun different genre shows that they have to offer. So
this reminds me of two things. It reminds me of The Moth Radio Hour. Have you guys heard of The Moth?
Yes.
It's like a public speak. It's public speaking. Basically, anybody can get up.
Yeah, The Moth was basically people coming up and telling their stories about whatever life event, something that changed them, learned from, whatever.
Yeah. And the only reason it reminds me of that is it was a thing before it was a podcast. So that kind of reminds, but this also reminds me of that Welcome to Night Vale show that you guys listened to, which is not.
They did a mashup together.
Yeah, what I was going to say. It's kind of the combination of those two things put together, sort of.
It really is. Where, Night Vale is more comedy suspense, and the comedy it's more like the straight man type of comedy where something unusual happens and the Cecil, who is the main character of Night Vale, he plays the straight man, and all of Night Vale is this weird place, and he reports.
It's no big deal. Yeah, he talks about it. It's normal life. They'll talk about things that are normal for us, and they're like, "Man, that's weird. Like mountains don't exist. That's crazy."
Yep.
So.
All right, cool stuff. Thank you, Brad. Great pick. Let's move on to Anessa. What do you got?
I have a short story. I found this last week, like Wednesday or Thursday, and I think that was actually about the time that it went up onto Amazon. Because Brad came in over the weekend, I think, and was like, "Oh yeah, I'm downloading this story from Hugh Howey, Second Suicide. It's a short story." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I just started reading that."
This is the story that he was writing that he wrote on Facebook about. He was writing an alien short story from the perspective of the aliens. Is this it?
Mm-hmm. This is it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like the description that you have on Amazon, and it's a Kindle single, so it's a buck. It's a short story. Or if you have Amazon's new Kindle Unlimited, then you can read it for free on that. But the description on Amazon says, 8 days to planetfall, and I'm being transferred to Gunner. My tentacles slam in disgust. Or is it fear? If this is the last planet we ever conquer, I'll be glad. Be nice to settle down somewhere. Get off this ship. Own a square land. Learn to love all that open sky. 8 more days before planetfall. 8 more days before we reach planet Earth. And that's the description. It's told from the perspective of the aliens. They're tentacled creatures. And if you've seen Edge of Tomorrow, to me this strikes me as a story that could be told from the perspective of the aliens that invade Earth in that story. Because these aliens, spoiler alert, have the ability to come back after they die.
Oh wow! And those aliens kind of had tentacles, right? They were kind of very narrow and thin tentacles.
Yeah, and so that's why to me it comes across very much as a potential companion to accessory to Edge of Tomorrow.
Maybe Hugh saw Edge of Tomorrow and was kind of inspired a little bit.
Maybe, but yeah, it's really interesting because the alien, I forget the name. There's a couple of short names in there that there's Mill, which is a female alien that commits suicide a couple of times, and this particular alien that's basically talking about the 8 days, he's the main character, and I can't think of his name. It might be like Hy something, and then there's Kerr, K-U-R, which was his old bunkmate. And so because Mill committed suicide a couple of times, and each time, of course, like I said, you commit suicide, you come back. Same premise for Edge of Tomorrow, or very similar. Anyway, because she committed suicide a couple of times, and because of her position, they basically transferred her to another ship in another position. And this particular character that's basically telling the story, he ends up getting demoted. And he's basically telling the story from his perspective, like, here's who we are, this is where we come from, and then this is what I'm trying to figure out, like, what's going on sort of thing. But, and each, it basically counts down to the day that they invade Earth, so.
Does it end then, when they arrive at Earth, or does it continue after the invasion starts?
People should read the story to find out.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see how you are. Hang on. So. That deserves something. No, that's not it.
I was just listening to your podcast.
Hang on.
Feedback. I hear feedback.
There we go. Okay.
So, yeah, no, it's maybe 21, 22 pages in length. It's really short. It's not a bad little story. I recommend people giving it a read, especially if they've got a buck to spend. It's only a dollar. Or if they have Kindle Unlimited, that's even better.
Okay.
It's already included.
All right. It's from our buddy Hugh. We know Hugh.
Yep.
He's our friend. He was on our the companion podcast to this, the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. If you get a chance, check it out. That was on two episodes ago on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club.
I kind of wonder if he had seen Edge of Tomorrow and was inspired, or
yeah,
it's just a crazy coincidence that they kind of sort of go, they would go together.
Yeah.
Or they could go together.
Okay. All right, cool. One more pick, and that is mine. It is a game. I know that's kind of unusual for me. I don't usually delve into the games or animation too much, but I thought I'd be different and throw you guys off a little bit, and I kind of was in the mood to download a game. I'll get in the mood once in a while, and it's called Alien Hive, and if you've ever played Candy Crush Saga, you'd be familiar with this. This is one of those where you have to line up three in a row, and it makes something else. In this case, you start with an alien egg, and whenever you get three shapes in a row, it changes into a different shape, and some of these shapes are these alien eggs, and that basically forms the alien creature, and then you get three of those alien creatures in a row, and it gets to be a different alien creature. So it's basically you're evolving the species of these aliens in Alien Hive. It's a puzzle game, and like I said, instead of matching up lines of crystals or balls in order to get them to disappear and into a puff of smoke, you push together three of a kind, make an organism of a higher order. And I could go into all the little nuances of this game, but you know, I'll just let you download it. It's for free. You can get it on iOS and Android. It's a very casual game. It's not, you know, you don't have to concentrate a lot. It can be one of those games where you're just sitting around the house and kind of half watching TV and half playing this game, or you're waiting for the bus, or you're at work and you don't really want to work, so you pull your phone out and you play Alien Hive. So that is my pick for the week. Short and sweet. Again, it's called Alien Hive. It's kind of like Candy Crush, but with aliens. I think
of Bejeweled when it comes to Candy Crush.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking that. That's probably more dead on than Candy Crush, really. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
It could be either, because they're very similar in gameplay. And then there's Candy Swipe, which is apparently the guy who originally created the concept for Candy Crush, but Candy Crush stole his idea.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
The game. And supposedly, if you actually make it to the end, it even has the same dedication, because he did it to, like, his mother or relative or something who was dying.
That's interesting. Okay.
Supposedly.
Okay.
Stories I've read online.
There's a ton.
I don't know if it's true.
There's a ton of these kind of games. It's in a class. They have a class of their own. This is pretty much one certain class of casual games that you can play. And I like the fact that it's an alien theme. It's kind of like what they do with the Farmville. They can make that into any theme they want. And I was actually looking.
I was actually looking for
a Farmville, an alien themed Farmville game, but I couldn't find one. So this was the second best.
Just a matter of time, Dave. I'm sure somebody's going to make one.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's going to do it for our picks and for the show. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and find out what we got going on. We kind of throw out news throughout the week, hot science fiction and science news. So that's one reason to follow us. Another reason is to just find out when we're going to be live recording the podcasts. You can follow us, like I said, on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. Also, leave us feedback by calling the voicemail number, 805-328-3966. That's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. And, of course, subscribe either on Stitcher or iTunes, or just go to galacticnetcasts.com/subscribe and get us in your feed so you don't miss any episodes of the Alien Invasion podcast. This has been episode number 112. Before we get out of here, final thoughts. Brad, you're up first.
I think we're going to see Guardians of the Galaxy tonight.
Ooh, tonight.
If we get done in time.
Tonight?
If we get done in time. Tonight, yes.
Midnight show, or is it what time does it start?
10:15.
Wow.
10:15.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I was impressed. That's what the Marcus Theater website says anyway. Also, we didn't get to listen to the feedback from last week. Are we gonna get to hear that?
We didn't really have feedback. It was just Jason our regular listener. He's been a follower and a supporter of ours for a long time. He just emailed a video to galacticnetcast@gmail.com of his neighbor or a friend of his with a quadcopter with lights on it. And
oh, cool.
And it, I kind of wanted to relate that to the stories that people have said that a lot of some UFOs could be people with quadcopters in the air with lights on.
Yeah, the, three... the drones.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Getting aerial footage, and they're like, ah, UFO.
Yeah, so, yeah. Jason, okay. Thank you very much, Jason, for emailing it to us. I wish we could post it, but it was just a video, and I don't know what the rights are or the permission, so we can't really do anything with it. So, all right. Anessa, your final thought. What do you got?
I don't feel like yakking, so I guess that's good.
Way to be glass half full there, Anessa.
Yay!
Yeah, congratulations on getting through the show without yakking. Good job.
Yeah, no, my stomach seems to be mostly okay. It's a little crampy at the moment, but yeah.
All right.
I seem to be staying put.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time on the Alien Invasion Podcast.
Bye!
Bye!
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.